Allow me to sing you in. Nerdstravaganza is a podcast. Four cool dudes are hanging out. It's Grant.
There you go.
Thanks, Tom.
I liked it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the moon's out. It's a beautiful night. I got a tingling in my groin. That means either I need to get my syphilis looked at, or it's time for the Nerdstravaganza podcast.
Hooray!
I like that.
Thank
it's a
very
new
much.
Moon. There's no new
it's
moon.
It's a syphilis he's talking about, not the podcast.
Right. What's now, that, Keith? Are you trying to get astrological on us?
Well, I'm just saying, if you know, a proper nerd would know that it's a new moon.
Who cares? Who ever? I mean, I marvel that the moon's there half the time. I forget about it. I'm like,
you know
oh,
what?
I forgot that was there.
I'm gonna go ahead and say a true nerd wouldn't even go outside.
Yeah. What have you been doing outdoors lately?
Yeah. What's up with that?
But they have the moon phases on their calendar watches.
Doesn't World of Warcraft... How World of Warcraft kept track of that for you?
Yeah, I thought that moon face was just telling me that it was Mac tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I forgot about that guy.
All right. Well, welcome to the Nerdstravaganza podcast. With us, as always, your four wonderful co-hosts. I'm going to go ahead and start with Mr. Tom Mainville.
Hi, I'm reading Doom Patrol, the comic book. Whoops.
How's that going for you, Mr. Tom?
Well, it was a homework assignment that you sent. Well, let's just get on with the introductions.
That's right. Well, for those of you that don't know, today is a themed episode, and our theme is going to be, in particular, the comic series Doom Patrol, with special emphasis on Grant Morrison's run during the late 80s and early 90s.
No coincidence, his name's Grant, I guess.
You know what? We're a good race of people.
I
us Grants.
That.
I sort of preempted. Did you want to introduce the other people?
You know what? If you'll stop being rude, then I'll get to my job.
Well, I never.
Well, all right. All right. And also with us tonight is Mr. Rick.
Greetings, mutants.
Not Rick.
I said greetings, mutants.
Oh, greetings back.
I don't appreciate being called a mutant.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, am I supposed to say yes to that?
I'm a metahuman, not a mutant. I don't
yeah.
like mutants anymore.
I'm just a general superhero. It's not really mutant-based.
Who else is with us?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Mr. Keith, how you doing?
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
I'm mutating!
I'm metaing into a meta-human.
What are you mutating into?
I don't know, but it sounds like this.
So an op amp kind of connected to a speaker?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right, and I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself here real fast, just because I'm kind of ego like that. Name's Grant. So what's everyone up to this week? Start with you, Mr. Tom.
I'm reading the Doom Patrol comic book.
That's the only thing you've been up to all week?
I'm reading the Doom Patrol comic book.
He's serious about that.
Just one Doom Patrol comic book?
I'm reading the Doom Patrol comic book, which spans several issues.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm reading the Doom Patrol comic book.
Okay, Tom has opinions that he shall reveal to us.
Hopefully we'll get to the main part of the show later. I'm just trying to pry any extra information about his week out of him.
Okay.
Well,
Black Anis.
I am also reading the Doom Patrol comic book, and being the non-comic book person that I am, I had to have them sent to me via email in electronic format because I don't even know where a comic book store is.
Sure you do. You left all of your Mech Warrior stuff on the front porch of one.
So true!
How
yes,
do you not
yes,
know to use Google and find a comic book store?
I don't know.
Laziness is a bitch, yo.
Touché.
So are Turtle. You saying you bought the comics online and had them delivered?
Yep.
Sure, that's what I'm saying.
Good. I'm reading Doom Patrol.
All right, what about you, Mr. Rick? Anything good going on this week?
There's been a lot of interesting things going on in the mutant camp over here lately, this week. lately. There has been some reading of the Doom Patrol comic book.
Oh, God. Not you too.
Which I'll admit it, I stole it off the internet. I went to my local comic book store and had no luck.
Isn't this the second week in a row that you've stolen something?
I pretty much steal everything off the internet because it's not really tangible. I would never steal anything that's tangible that I could hold. But I guess if I printed it out, then I'd probably feel guilty. But I just won't print it out.
Well, let's talk about Doom Patrol. What is this Doom Patrol that everybody's talking about today?
Grant, and why are we talking about it?
Yeah, more to the point.
Because in particular, Grant Morrison's run of Doom Patrol is probably the greatest single run on a comic book series of all time.
As stated on the internet.
All right,
absolutely. And stated by me.
You're going to have to help me out here. So when you say Grant Morrison's run, is he not the guy who created it?
No, no. The Doom Patrol was actually created in 1963.
A scant 3 months before the X-Men first comic.
Absolutely. And there are actually a lot of similarities between the Doom Patrol and the original X-Men.
Think,
maybe like old dude in wheelchair.
Yeah, like think GoBots and Transformers.
Except for in this case, the GoBots, which I'll admit, the Doom Patrol are kind of the GoBots to the, you know, the Transformers of the X-Men. But this actually came out before. It just never quite gained the momentum of the popularity. But anyway, it started in 1963 and was kind of just a rote superhero comic, like basic kind of Fantastic Four type adventures going on. Mm-hmm. But it really picked up in the late 80s when Grant Morrison was first rising to fame. And he started working in a lot of very unconventional plots, characters, and methods of storytelling into his run on Doom Patrol. And it lasted for what I guess is about 6 graphic novels. I believe it was about 50 or so comics. I don't have the number off the top of my head.
Cool.
So this was after his success of Brown-Eyed Girl?
Yes, it was a little bit after that.
Let's close the door on that pun.
I think that was Van Morrison.
Whatever. Thanks for pointing it out.
Oh, but not like... you all actually went through and read some of the first Doom Patrol. At least I know you and Rick did, right, Tom?
Yeah, I went to my local comic book shop where the helpful staff were able to hook me up with tangible comic books as opposed to something downloaded from the internet. And I was able to get actual issues, what I believe are issues 1 or 2 that preceded this run by Morrison. And
yes.
I have to say, so there's a bit of a gap from what was going on there to what I'm reading now, but much larger than the gap in continuity is the gap in quality. This is awesome. I mean, I really can't say enough. I've reread bits just to get to really absorb what was going on. And I have such a short attention span. Sometimes it's hard for comics to keep my interest. I've really enjoyed this. I'm going to have to sing its praises.
And I'm going to have to thoroughly disagree.
Ouch.
I didn't hate it. I didn't read anything before the Grant guy because, in all honesty, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what number I'm supposed to read. I can't find a number 18, etc. But I'm going to keep looking. But I found it that there was a lot of things in the story that made me want to continue to read to the next one, and I am not a reader by any stretch of the imagination. I'll be the first to admit that. So the fact that it even intrigued me a little bit to continue reading, that did excite me. But I felt that it never lived up to my expectation of what I was feeling I was going to get next. So I don't know if that's the comic book's fault or if it's my fault.
No, it's your fault.
Okay.
So, your fault.
Yep. No, you picked up the one with the Scissorman, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you got the first volume, like issues 18 through 25 or whatever.
19 through 22.
Oh, close enough.
Yep. And it was like one little compact thing of how they got the Doom Patrol back together.
Yeah.
We're putting the band
But that was actually
together.
Exactly.
Yeah, he disassembled the team before that. Like, he had the old writer actually kill off about four or five characters so he could get the team that he wanted and introduce his own characters into there and then run them through the Scissorman plot.
Now, the thing that really intrigued me from the beginning, like when you first told us about it, was I jumped on the internet, and rather than stealing stuff right away, I decided I was going to look some stuff up. And I looked up, they have some kind of wiki for it, and it seems that, I guess originally, the way this guy, the chief guy, put his team together was he found people that had really good lives and maybe special talents or something, but not really like superhero people, just like good people. Like one of them was like a race car driver, and he, mm-hmm. quote, air quoted, created an accident to like F up these people's lives, and then they basically had no real sense of loss because they'd already lost everything due to these accidents. And that's how he coaxed him into joining the team, because it's kind of like, well, you got nothing to live for anyway, so why not just join this team and raise holy hell? Which is weird because they're good guys, but that seems like a bad guy tactic to create a team, which I thought was pretty badass.
Well, yeah, that was revealed much later on in the run that he had created and manufactured all these accidents and turned these people into what they hated being, essentially.
Gotcha.
So but they made
Niles Collar is the Professor X figure in this, and he's a much more ambiguous kind of moral figure than, say, traditional team leaders.
Gotcha. So that was what that kind of piqued my interest at the beginning. That and then the whole, is it X-Men? Is it ripped off from X-Men? Is X-Men ripped off from it? Blah blah blah. Which I didn't really pick a side on that. I just kind of focused on the information at hand on how he started the Doom Patrol and kind of went from there.
Right, and these comics came out so close together that it's really hard to say that one did rip off the other, because 3 months is hardly any turnaround time, right?
Yeah,
there's
a theory that's out there that kind of believes that the Doom Patrol wasn't X-Men wasn't stolen from the Doom Patrol, but that Doom Patrol was formed on the basis of Fantastic Four, which, I don't know.
And that seems very believable.
Yeah. It seems believable, but there's a lot of holes in that, I think, too. So.
Well, the Fantastic Four in general transformed the superhero genre by making it like, hey, we are professional superheroes. Everybody knows our identities. We're not alter egoed up. And, you know, here's the Baxter Building, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they were just heroes out there. And Doom Patrol took that same road. Like, they weren't all happy, like, wonderful teammates with each other. They bickered and fought a little bit. Like, they did borrow a lot of those elements.
Right. Now, you said, Keith said, like, super friends. And one part that made me actually laugh out loud, and I spit up Dr. Pepper through my nose when I read this.
I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead. Give the reveal.
No. I know what you're going to say, but I don't want to be wrong.
So you know what he's going to say.
The Doom Patrol's headquarters is actually the Justice League's old headquarters.
Yeah. That's it! Which they were going to use to store nuclear waste, but I requested it as a headquarters.
Well, you have to wonder what happens to all these old headquarters, right?
No, I mean, it's true.
I think the one in the swamp was way cooler. Or was that the Legion of Doom? I don't know.
That was the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
All right.
I just like that in that actual panel or whatever, when they're discussing that, he's like, yeah, this is their old base. They were just going to use it to store nuclear waste, but I asked if we could have it instead. Like, it was going to be a dumping ground. Ah, whatever, you can have it. It's like they're like second stringers, man. They don't even rate their own like top tier base.
Oh, they're like the Great Lakes Avengers, yeah. Nobody cares. But that was the thing, like their misfit status is what makes them as the team.
Right.
Later on in that book that you have there in your hands, he talks about how the Justice League couldn't tackle all these issues because they deal so much in mental illness that all their own unique faults and character flaws are what actually make them capable of, say, defeating the Scissormen, which are that race of beings from a fictional world that try to cut out pieces of the real world.
It's interesting. Should we talk generally about it, or should we go in a little bit into the storyline in these first few books?
Like, I'm willing to touch on a few of the key points. Like, I'm willing to say almost all the characters have their powers or their character lines driven by the fact that they have some form of mental illness. Like, that is a huge plot line. One of the main characters, Crazy Jane, is basically 60 or so different personalities.
64.
And is that how many was?
Yeah, 64.
There we go. Y'all know this better than I do. You should be hosting this. No, but she, so these different personalities have different superpowers, and she doesn't necessarily control which one's coming out, but that's the base of her character. And that tends to work out very well, the way that he uses that within these storylines of fictional beings attacking or, like, Dadaist civilizations attacking. One of the characters, I don't think he's in that one, is actually a sentient street.
What the hell is that?
It's just a street.
Like a road?
Yeah, it's a street. It's a transvestite street, which you have to read between the lines to actually get, but that's one of the character points, is that this street is, say, like a early 20th century British transvestite. And he has powers. He basically just teleports into different cities in different times and kind of just fits in. Like, hey, here's a street here, middle of Berlin, whatever. And that's one of the characters, one of the basically a member of the Doom Patrol during his run that he created.
Interesting.
Yeah, just a lot of really weird stuff like that.
Okay, so maybe you can answer this question. Why did the Larry guy meta-meld with the Doctor Lady?
I didn't get that either, actually.
Oh, you're talking about Negative Man?
I don't know.
Basically, an astronaut.
I never got, like, what his powers were or anything, so.
Okay, he was an astronaut, and he was hit by space radiation.
Okay.
Which, you know, maybe some comic books before that did that.
I could think of four or five people that happened to.
Right, but he gained the power of this negative spirit that inhabited his body that he could send out to do his bidding and kind of just, you know, attack stuff and fly around. But eventually the spirit became more of its own being, left his body, and it's returning to his body at the beginning of this series of Doom Patrol.
Okay. So that's
and
who was outside.
And it wants to become a more complete cosmic being, so it absorbs basically a woman in that case and becomes what he's considering the divine hermaphrodite, is what they call it in there. Yeah, the character gets pretty weird.
Who's this comic book written for?
Me. Anyone.
Me, I love it.
It's youngsters? Fucking wonderful.
I mean, sure, in the 80s comics were getting somewhat adultish, but hermaphrodites?
This was actually one of the first, the later ones were one of the first volumes put on Vertigo. This is kind of what kicked that off for DC.
So there was that, they turned into one being, and then he would constantly refer to itself as we.
Mm-hmm.
Or Rebus. Mm-hmm. But who was this doctor chick before? Because she had gotten a phone call, and apparently she was some kind of big deal. Do you know any of the backstory with that?
As far as I know, she was a new character.
Okay.
She might be like otherwise involved in the DC timeline. I'm not that familiar with DC comics outside of...
Who is?
Doom Patrol and some of the JLA. It's all good stuff, but I always preferred the X-Men growing up, so that's kind of what colored me. So, Keith, coming at this from an outsider's perspective?
Yes.
Sounds like a great book, right?
Well, I read the first book, and...
First being what, number 19?
Yeah, 19.
Okay.
The first one that I had there. I read 19, and it took me a long time to read the first, say, eight pages, just because, I don't know, it jumped from one thing to another until I realized that, you know, this is just setting everything up, Keith. Just relax, keep reading, you'll figure it out when it gets there.
I need to interrupt and say, I'm glad that wasn't me just being a non-reader. Like, Because I know you read a lot, so if you had that same problem, you can imagine the stumbling blocks I had. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, I got through that and read through, and I'm like, okay, I kind of see what's going on here. But like I said, I've only read the one so far, so I, you know, and that was just getting three people together. The only thing that bothered me is when a superhero is asking somebody to open a window, why didn't he just open it himself?
Who was opening a window? I don't remember.
It was, let's see here.
Larry, let me in.
Yes, yes.
I was That's just like, the...
He's a spirit in the material world.
That might be a metaphor.
It looks
like... Yeah, he needed him to open the window.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
But I like the way it's written and lettered and drawn. I think that looks really cool.
I agree.
I only know this from I had some friends that collected comic books.
Rick Adam Glacier,
and yeah, buddy Adam Glacier, and he, you know, he introduced me to some stuff, and so I don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about him, but I kind of, you know, I know what I like. And so far, like I said, I've just got the background story. I really need to get into some action or something. Do they actually throughout this? I mean, like I said, I've got through book 22. Do we get any action, or is it all just putting the band back together?
No, there's action. They fight the Scissormen at the end of that one, and it gets more action-heavy as the series runs on, and the enemies get increasingly weirder also. So,
well, I don't know how
you
have
that to look forward to.
I don't know how you can get any weirder than what was already there, and I mean that in a good way. Like, I will be. You know what? The comic book, I'm going to say, reminds me of a lot of movies that I've seen. When I watched them, Old School is a perfect example. When I first saw the movie Old School, I didn't really like it. I was like, what a piece of shit. Then I started talking to my friends about it, and all of a sudden I remember all this good stuff that I thought was kind of interesting and laughing my ass off and funny, and that's kind of like how I'm feeling with the book. Like,
you're my boy, Blue!
So our conversation, like listening to it, and listening to everybody talk about it is getting me more excited to continue to read it. So I didn't hate it, but I thought it wasn't what I was expecting, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly, like, if you try to compare it to, say, X-Men at the time, it's entirely different what he did with this, which is why I like it. I honestly did not like comic books during that time period, like the late 80s, early 90s. None of it was good until, what was it, Jim Lee took over and did X-Men number one? Until then, it was a wasteland.
I didn't really know about comics until, like, Spawn was out, because I was collecting the toys. And I was into a lot of X-Men cartoons and toys, but not really comic books. The only comic books I ever had, like, I have a huge stack of super old-school ones, but they're all, like, Hot Stuff and Richie Rich and Baby Huey and shit like that.
I think I've heard of one of those before.
Richie Rich, baby!
Yep.
I've got to say, I mean, I guess at this point, I can sort of give my overall opinion on Doom Patrol. I think they establish a pretty the characters seem pretty compelling. I mean, they're pretty far off the beaten path, and having read issues one and two, which preceded the run by this guy that we're so focused on, Jim Van Morrison. I gotta say, this is like a quantum leap forward. This went from like they were basically fighting some kind of like a almost stereotypical, you know, villain in the first two that I read, some like weird mutated doctor guy. Now we jump forward and they're basically fighting, you know, fighting an entire world that exists by writing itself into yours. Just that sentence should interest anybody listening enough to read it. I
see, now that was one of the things I found as a disappointment. Like, I just thought it was kind of weird. Like, they just threw like a Super Friends kind of bullshit excuse at me. Like, out of nowhere, oh, well, we don't really have a reason why any of this is happening. Let's just say we don't know why it happened and the book made it happen. Well, I just thought it was weak.
I don't. It's not been explained. I mean, from what I've read so far, and now we can't help but delve into the story a little bit. This there's a book wherein this alternate world is described, and the events in the book unfold in the real world, and you don't know the origin of the book isn't really explained. Some guy is caught on fire. You know, basically, this guy's burning and drops this book, and you know, I guess the authorities seize it and turn it over to various channels, and it ends up in the hands of the what's the name of the leader?
Niles Calder.
Of Mr. Calder, who then
call him Chief.
Chief, sorry, who you're supposed to call Chief. But I mean, they haven't really explained the origins of the book. Basically, there's some sort of. It was created by what philosophers was it, Grant?
Yeah, it was basically a thought game.
Yeah.
They wrote an impossible civilization, and then this impossible civilization, basically founded upon its paradoxes, began to grow in unreal space and then start to take over the real world.
You see, right. now that explanation sounds cool. Why didn't?
But that's what's happening. I mean,
I know, but it's the way they said it. It was. I felt like they just threw it at me like a hot dog with no bun. It was like, eh, whatever. Like, it didn't matter. And I felt like this whole time I was reading this, like, I was putting way more thought and emphasis into everything I was reading, and none of it was as full as what it felt like it should have been with the feeling it was kind of giving me but not delivering. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do. But I don't. I mean, I don't know how far you got into it. Did you get into the point where basically was it Calder that actually explained what was happening after the one of that woman's many personalities?
Yeah, I read.
They explained it more. Yeah,
I read that whole. I read the whole four book little saga.
Okay. So you're fully. Geez, Rick. I guess at this point, I'm going to have to chalk that up to a shortcoming in your personality.
Oh, don't worry. I'll make him read Grant Morrison's Animal Man next.
Animal Man.
He can find something he really hates.
Rick, I was only kidding. You got quiet there. I'm only
No, because he was saying Animal Man, and it was making me think about a TV show that I wanted to make called Bananimal, where this guy... where an animal mates with a banana and turns into a crazy, like, fruit beast called Bananimal.
Oh, my.
Wait, can we make it about a cop? That's killed on duty. He's run over by a banana truck. And his soul inhabits a banana, and he has to work with his partner to solve the crimes.
Isn't that Assy McGee?
Ooh.
And how does that...
How
does that go into the animal part? Unless his partner's a gorilla.
He mates with an animal later.
And then you could do stuff like the gorilla could shove the banana into a perp's tailpipe, and then he can't get away.
I like that idea. Now you're talking.
Come on, you guys have to know what that's from.
It's from Beverly Hills Cop, of course.
Okay, thank you.
I wasn't born yesterday.
I thought it was Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
It would have been an improvement to the new one, but whatever.
Oh, you didn't care? I don't want to get into that again. Let me ask
you guys this. Being a non-comic book guy, and X-Men's the big one from, you know, the 80s, whatever, why you guys recommend this one? Is it just purely on totally different, unique storyline?
Well, not only is it totally different and unique, but it's very well done in that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
If I had to sum it up briefly, I would say that it's more intelligent.
I would say that too.
What? I think thematically. Okay, no. No, that explains a lot, actually. Because the theme of the whole thing, the concepts behind, like, even just the little small taste that I have, I think you're right. They are very unusual from what I would expect from a comic book. They're very, like, Twilight Zone-y kind of weird and out there and cool, but at the same time, I do feel like it verbally felt like I was being spanked. I don't know, like it was written for 11-year-olds.
Like a Dennis Miller, not like a Dennis Miller concert.
No.
I thought you were going to say it was, you know, verbally hard to follow, but
I think they do a fairly good job of getting across somewhat sophisticated concepts in sort of comic writing. I think with comics, you're, at least during this period, and maybe I've made some huge leap forward in dialogue, you're somewhat restricted in how you deliver, because you can't really fill up an entire panel with words. Otherwise, you then have, you know, like a book.
Right, and I come from not reading a lot of different comic books, so maybe that's just how it is. I know that in some of the X-Men books that I've read, I didn't really have that problem, but you also weren't dealing with the complexity of a, you know, this had like a super big sci-fi feel to it, which was cool.
Yeah, it was definite sci-fi and definite, like, weird conceptual sci-fi.
Yes, yes, but not like spaceships and rockets, more like weird twisty time continuums of weird parallel planes of dementia.
Yeah, with like a good bit of the occult tossed in.
Yep.
Right, not with not so cliche.
Yes, definitely not cliche, I will say that. Mm. I mean, I got them for free. I'm going to read the rest of them. Don't get me wrong.
I really cannot approve of that.
I think next week's show has to be about piracy.
Yeah, and its effect on the creative class. Yeah.
Creative
it's,
class.
It's basically creative class warfare.
I got to say, I don't know anybody who's more against it than I am, and I'm reading hacked books.
Grant's against it more than you.
Really?
I am staunchly anti-piracy.
It's funny. I don't know how you can get any more tangible than a comic book. Like, I understand with music, it's not a tangible thing. But, I mean, it's a book. It's actually a book you can hold. And some guy scanned it, and you downloaded it. You stole that book.
I did steal it.
Well, see, usually people have friends and they'll loan them books, but I don't have too many friends.
Well, you're not going to have any. I'll tell you what, nobody wants to hang around a thief.
Or at least not friends that are going to loan me their books.
I'll loan you mine.
Well, there we go then.
Aww.
Okay, but unlike the rest of you guys, I actually have contributed to the overwhelming, vast mass media that gets pirated. So I'm just getting what's coming to me now.
You're getting your comeuppance.
That's right. I have three albums out that get pirated on a daily basis that I don't see a dime for. So if I take a comic book that's 28 years old and can get it for free, because it's not like that guy's going to get any money if I buy it from my local comic shop anyway, so who cares?
Can we just edit that little block out and replace it with blah, 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 entitled Rockstar Dickhead? Can we put that in there?
That's pretty straight on. You know, it's funny. I've got a few friends who are musicians who put out music and have that exact same stance on things. You know, if I were to extrapolate from that, since I put so much code out there that has no doubt been reused and gone into products that have made way more money than I ever saw out of it, I should be able to just steal Windows whenever I feel like it.
And don't you?
Of course I do, but I mean, that's besides.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How many times have you listened to those Devo and B-52's records I gave you? As MP3 files.
I bought one album. I bought the remastered, which album did I buy?
Are we not in?
No.
One out of 14, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, 2 out of 14.
I bought a remastered Devo album, and it was fantastic. And so, you know, I feel I've contributed.
Okay, now am I entitled? Because not only did I buy them on 8-track, I also had them on cassette and on LP.
Nope.
And on CD.
Nope.
So,
well, let me ask you this, Rick. If I bought a Daihatsu Charade in the 80s, am I entitled to every Daihatsu product from here on out?
I had a Daihatsu Charade.
Yeah, that's awesome. I drove to Tampa in that thing.
Hey,
that is some flawless logic.
And when I see somebody driving one, I'm like, that should be mine.
Daihatsu doesn't make cars, therefore I'm entitled to every Honda I see.
No, just Cushman.
they still make cards. No, look at this.
I buy a lot of stuff. If I could have found it in the store, dude, I would have bought it.
Tell it to the cops. Listen, officer, I buy a lot of stuff, so what if I steal something?
Tell it to little Morrison, whose dad now trades on the fact that his name sounds like Jim Morrison to make money.
Okay, can I use this logic? Isn't the local comic store stealing from me when the cover clearly states that it's $1.25, yet they're charging me $3.50?
Well,
they're only stealing from you if they go in your pocket and take the money out. If you put the money on the counter, then they're not stealing. You gave it willingly.
It's highway robbery!
I guess in the same sense that that bottle of wine that didn't cost much but has now aged 20 years costs more, you're being ripped off.
Speaking of which, I have an X-Files number one. How much is that worth?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I hate X-Files.
Yeah.
Well, it was just a comic for a TV show.
Don't you ever mention that again. I hate you, Keith.
When I had to go to all of the comic book shows, I had to do something, so I bought X-Files.
That's cool, man. I don't know. I wonder what it's worth. I really have no familiarity with it. But it doesn't matter. It's worth nothing because I'll just go download it on the internet.
I already got it. I'll send it to you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I think we had a good conversation here.
See, I'm looking forward to finishing off reading the books, at least, you know, up through these, and maybe I will make a trip out to the Comic Land store that I'm supposed to go to and pick up some more and maybe read all, whatever, what was it, 50 books or something?
I am still amazed that you do not know the name of a local comic store.
Really?
And I'm shocked.
Yeah, me too.
Barnes & Noble.
Now you shut up! That's not funny!
That just hurts.
If he was buying a new comic, it would be there.
Beat up, like punched by a stock boy.
No, listen. I'm a comic. On the issue of piracy, I'm very selective. You know, like anyway, you know, I'm okay with pirating. What am I okay with pirating?
Rum.
Yeah.
Doubloons.
Yeah.
Pantaloons.
I like raping and pillaging.
I'm okay with pirating ice. No.
From
ice pirates. I get it.
Ice pirates. Thank you. Nobody. Anyway, for my part, I really like this, and I think I will continue reading this.
All right. Well, there we go. We have it. Strong words. Read it.
Moving along.
I'm going to continue reading it, too.
I'll read the books. You guys keep reading the PDFs.
No, it's an actual .cbr. It's a legitimate format. It is. You can buy an app for it.
You can buy the app.
You can download the app.
Well, you know what? Since I do have a subscription to Marvel Online, if it was a Marvel comic instead of a shit DC title, I would have been able to read it for free. Or pay, whatever you want to call it, for rental.
On that bombshell.
No, let's discuss the hatred of DC characters compared to the greatness of Marvel characters.
Who's the best DC character?
There ain't one!
Batman, clearly.
Isn't Batman DC?
Yes.
Batman's a tool.
Who's better than Batman?
He uses tools.
Little Orphan Annie's better than Batman.
Oh, dear. I can't listen. This can't be right.
Anyone on Gasoline Alley's better than Batman.
You don't like Batman.
I don't think he's speechless.
He can't come up with justification for his position. He's just trolling us.
No, I am just trolling you. But
I'll give you an easy one, Rick. I'll give you an easy one. Aquaman or the second rate Namor?
I didn't hear what you said.
Aquaman or the second rate wannabe Namor, also known as Submariner.
Didn't Namor predate
Batman?
Aquaman's still cool. I don't care who predates who.
Aquaman's not cooler than anyone.
I think Batman's cool in the sense, like, you know, he's cool, like, he's dark and whatever. And I like the way the drawings looked. But I don't like... I don't know. I like mutants and freaks. I'm not into, like, this vigilante crap.
So
you don't like the Joker?
He's a little bit of a freak, but he's not really a mutant. He's just like a whack job with a bad attitude.
What about Killer Croc?
I know one of those.
Killer Croc is more like something that I would like because he's like a weird mutant.
Okay. What about Superman?
I don't like Superman. He's an alien. It's too much. I don't know. It's too 1950s. I'm not into it.
It's the good Who's guy.
Really it's happy guy. Days for comic books.
Yes.
Who's messing around with the tab of a Dr. Pepper can right now?
Not me,
Ricky.
No, I'm drinking it with ice.
We have a Foley with us today, ladies and gentlemen, a special guest.
Axel?
Axwell. Covered up his animal.
Axwell.
His animal. I know there's a ground, Monty. We gotta get as many Eddie Murphy film references in as possible.
Golden Child.
I already said that one.
Damn it. What about Pluto Nash?
Ugh. How about that Steve Martin one? Alright, now we're just rambling. Go ahead and do your ending and I'll fucking cut all this other crap out.
You mean like I was doing 20 minutes ago?
Sure. All right,
here we go. Alright, well I think we have a pretty good consist here. Right? Two yeses from Tom and I.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like two very emphatic maybes from Rick and Keith.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Oh, you're full on board now.
Well, you've done a 180.
No.
As he talked about it.
I still stick with the fact that I kind of feel... I really like the subject matter. I don't love the writing, but based on Tom's explanation, maybe I can... I'm going to view the next chunk that I read with a little less expectation and less... worries about the underlying this, that, or the other thing. And just take it at face value and enjoy the weirdness that's in front of me.
So that's almost Buddhist in its beauty there, Rick.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds like...
I feel like you've touched us all.
Good idea, bad storytelling right now, right?
Yes, exactly. That's how I feel. And I like the idea enough that I'm going to continue and see if I can stomach some more.
Stomach.
Such a dick.
And I will give it the college try. I'll read it all. I have no opinion whether good, bad, or indifferent.
Wait, if it's good, bad, or indifferent, that's an opinion, and that's indifferent.
No, you have it. I haven't decided if I'm indifferent or not.
Oh, and another thing, I told Tom earlier in the week that I hated the artwork, which is weird because I usually love old school comic book style. And it was just like one or two panels I was looking at were just awkward and weird with that crazy Jane lady. She looked like she had Jerry curl or something. It was bad. But, you know, as an illustrator speaking on illustrations, there was a lot of really cool stuff that I dug a lot in there. So I take that back.
I thought it was a lot older than the 80s from the artwork myself. But then again, I have... Like I said, I got no real frame of reference. It just seemed older.
Oh, well, there we have it then. Some strong, very changing opinions. And that's what you can get from
the Nerd Extravaganza.
And Doom Patrol.
But mainly us.
Yes.
I just want to go on record as saying I liked it. I didn't waver. I didn't oscillate. Or did I vacillate? I love the word I was trying to use.
Did you flagellate?
I did no such thing. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I'm standing behind it. And if you don't like it, you're not my friend. That's all I have to say.
Sure.
And I appreciate you letting me preview those Devo albums, which I then turned around and bought.
And then throwing you under the bus for it.
No, I made...
That's what you did, Tom.
Tom is holding my legitimate copies of my CDs.
Hey, Rick, I know it's been a while since you've been able to listen to those, since I currently have the files. Would you like me to send them back so that you can listen again?
I'm still currently listening to them on CD format, but I'll continue to text you to let you know which album I'm listening to, so we don't double listen and break it.
Okay, cool. If you want, I mean, I can use file transfer protocol and send you back the MP3 files. If you in exchange, maybe you can like mail me the CDs.
Okay, maybe we'll do that.
I mean, if we time that right, we won't both be in possession of the music.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
Have I ever seen that movie?
I hope not.
It's wonderful.
You may not have because it's medieval and you don't dig that stuff.
Oh my god, but get this. Something is changing within my inner structure, guy.
That's a mutation.
I'm mutating because I saw a preview for a movie that I almost got a boner over.
What movie? Don't tell me it has elves.
The Three Musketeers, dude.
Yes! Yes!
I saw it and I was like, holy shit, I am going to see that movie, dude. It looks awesome.
I'll have a boner in the theater because Mia's in it.
No, I couldn't remember what her name was, and I'm telling Kim, I'm like, I want to see this Three Musketeer movie. She's like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, it's got the multi-pass girl in it.
Multi-pass.
Multi-pass.
And this multi-pass.